Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm Ted Maxwell, your host, and this is the Engagement Hour. Matt Neely's behind the glass, as always, keeping me on time and on target.
Morning, Ted.
Morning, Matt. How you doing? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's our plans completely changed. Tuesday night, we were planning on going out of town for Thanksgiving. We knew that Katie, my wife's dad, was coming in town on Friday to mm-hmm. be there for the ASU game. Mm-hmm. Okay, that wasn't such an exciting moment. Those the air quotes for game.
Yeah.
But we decided we weren't going to leave town, and so she went and got everything we need. We threw together and we made a full Thanksgiving meal for just the two of us and sat around. It was good, nice, quiet time. For the first time in her life, she ever made gravy from scratch.
Hey, all right.
And it worked. It was phenomenal. It was great. So it was good. It was a good time to reflect and slow down. And I hope you and your family and Kelly and everybody had a great
Trying to get all the tryptophan out of my system, but we're almost there.
Yeah, it's amazing how long that turkey can last. And then you think you don't want to ever have it again, and you miss it the next day that it's all gone.
That's true.
Yeah, so this is an important time of the year as we head into the holidays. Gets busy. There's a lot going on. You know, the Bike in the Box campaign's gone on. There's a lot of things that are going to take you to socially giving, all the other things that we do around this time and place. But just I strongly encourage everybody, take some time and enjoy your friends and family. Do what you can. Make those last... here's a plug for the show I'm going to do on the 24th, is make those last moments to get your tax credits in. This is something that costs you nothing, and it's a way to give back to those folks in the community and those organizations that you want to support. And all you do is you write them a check, and then that's coming off your taxes. And if you if you paid what you're supposed to pay, you'll get that money right back. So you're not saving any money. I get that. But it's a way for you to ensure your tax dollars go to the education programs you want to go to, the nonprofits you want to go to. There's one thing the state of Arizona has done is make it very easy for everybody to take advantage of the tax credits and make sure that their tax money goes to the organizations you want. So I know you and Kelly have a lot of different organizations you like to support, as do we. So the big thing, whatever it is, whatever your passion is, please take advantage of those tax credits. So it's always hard for me to listen to the news before we go on, Matt, because you've always got something that I just go, really?
Sorry, I couldn't make it a little bit more upbeat for you. I try.
Seriously? You know, that's one of the things we need to continue working on it around here. Remember, we are a nation bound by shared values of freedom, liberty, and equality, and with that comes those rights and responsibilities, and a lot of the responsibilities of you being engaged and involved, and that's the whole purpose of the Engagement Hour. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to be joined by Allison Karpuk, who's the executive director of the Metropolitan Pima Alliance, and we will listen to hear her story, how she got involved in leading that kind of organization, and her engagement through both her professional work and her private work in the community to try to make Southern Arizona and Tucson specifically a better place. So you're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Look forward to talking with you on the flip side. Welcome back. I'm Ted Maxwell. This is Jump in Tucson, the Engagement Hour. So we quite often talk with a lot of the different business organizations. I know Chris and Christy Simone on Wake Up Tucson and I will go back and forth about, man, there's a lot of business organizations. But I've been very clear. I believe that we need all the different sectors to have organizations that represent them, that can engage with them, can make the pitch. Because Tucson and Pima, for that matter, in the state of Arizona is a small little community relative. We can't match Maricopa, and therefore we don't tend to have as much influence there. We need multiple organizations that are really willing to advocate. And today I'm going to introduce you, if you don't know, of the Metropolitan Pima Alliance and their executive director, Allison Karpuk. And as you know on this show, I like to have my guests tell their story. So Allison, welcome to the show. I appreciate you being with me this morning.
Thank you, Ted, for having me.
And you may hear us go back and forth on Metropolitan Pima Alliance or MPA. I already told her I want to make sure all the listeners understand what that is. But we always start off with hearing the story of your background, where you came from, how you got involved in the community, why you're in the community, and what your passions are. So take it away, Allison.
Thank you. Yeah, we tend to get into the acronyms a lot here in Southern Arizona. And, you know, Metropolitan Beam Alliance can be a bit of a mouthful. So we sometimes go by MPA, we'll go by the Metro Alliance, Beam Alliance. Any way you slice it, we are still working to accomplish this same goal. And that goal is to create a prosperous community through real estate development policies, building partnerships, and finding common ground. A lot of what we base it on is relationships and dialogue. And that's an amazing niche that we have found and that we've cultivated throughout the years. We started in 1997, and my first interaction with MPA was actually in about 2009. My father was being honored at one of the signature events of the organization, which is Common Ground, and that's a celebration of projects in the community and individuals who have overcome adversities and difficulties and have shown a unprecedented desire to bridge the gap between the public and private sector and work together for the betterment of the overall Southern Arizona region.
So why don't you tell a little bit of the background on your father's story, because that may lead mm-hmm. to your story of how you got engaged.
Absolutely. So I grew up in a family that was very focused on building a better community, engaging in the one that you live in, and making sure that you give back. So I got brought here from Southern California when I was young. I went to middle school, high school in Tucson, and...
What high school?
Ironwood Ridge. Yep. First graduating class, actually, first four-year graduating class. And then I had the privilege of going to the University of Arizona, Bear Down. There was never another choice for me. My dad was an alumni from there, and his notion was, if it was good enough for me, it's certainly good enough for you. And I expressed a desire to do business management. So Eller was the perfect place to learn and grow, one of the most well-respected public business colleges in the country. I loved my time there. And while I was there, I got involved in student government. And it was through that that I found myself lobbying for student rights at the Capitol and in front of Arizona Board of Regents. One of the unique things about Arizona is the mandate of our state colleges to provide real high quality level education to in-state students. And so
at the lowest possible cost.
Exactly. So that's what I was working on. We were trying to pass tuition predictability. We were not successful at that time. ASU and NAU both have that. We were also working on textbook legislation to ensure that there was not price gouging and working to keep the other costs and fees associated with being a student accessible. U of A serves a different population than ASU does, and it is the closest state university to a lot of communities that otherwise wouldn't have that opportunity for education. I also currently serve on the Pima Community College Foundation Board, and that's definitely a passion of mine. They have a very similar mandate, which is to provide accessible, affordable education to in-state students. And I'm really proud of the work that's been done there under the chancellor. I'm excited for the success of the new current chancellor and Marcy, who runs the foundation. She's done an amazing job of fundraising and providing support for students and the college in general. Education is absolutely the key to progress, in my opinion. And it's not just education in terms of curricular education. I think that the more that we're able to communicate and educate the community and our elected officials on issues facing the region and the potential outcome of decisions that are made, then we're able to move forward. Politics gets a bad rap sometimes. I think that's because it's politicized. But when you work on policy and you work on these large-scale planning efforts, really, if you're able to take the politics out of them, you're able to focus on the education, the matters at hand, that's where you can start to get people in alignment, you can start to resolve issues, and you can really try to get down to the matter, right? Rather than just trying to decide, what are people asking for? How can I provide this? It's more of, what is their goal? And how can we find that in between? A lot of the times I've experienced when working on policy, such as impact fees or water, natural resources, infrastructure, and regional
all
effort.
Those really sexy, fun topics
yes.
to discuss.
So much. Yes, absolutely. Very technical items. If you take out the nuances and you take out the particulars, it's different people from different backgrounds trying to reach the same goal, which is getting to a better region, right? We'll just say Tucson, Pima County. And while those visions of what that might look like are different, everybody still has the same goal, which is better community. So how can you find the pieces that line up and focus on those? And if you can do that, then everybody's a lot more willing to refine the pieces that they don't necessarily agree with. Oftentimes, it's getting stuck in the weeds on one or two particulars. And when I first started in this industry, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why people were getting hung up on one line in a policy or one particular, you know, category of a fee. But as I have grown in this career field and as I've learned so much more about development, infrastructure, and how that leads to economic development, I've gotten to see firsthand that those little particulars, such as increasing impact fees for multi-housing family, that can really restrict the development. And then the restricted development or the increased cost to develop gets passed on to the developer. That developer then has to recover those, you know, shortfalls, those margins. Then they're not able to produce as much. And then we run into housing shortages.
Well, we'll definitely later in the hour talk about a lot of the specific issues and concerns of MPA, what you're trying to get at. You mentioned your dad. He's served in public office himself.
Yes.
So I'm a resident of Oro Valley, and Steve Solomon has mm-hmm. been on the Oro Valley the town council for many years until just recently.
Many years.
And so you had that example. You were involved in student government in the U of A. You were already advocating at the state legislature. So what did you do right after the U of A before you made your way to MPA?
Absolutely. So I actually had the opportunity to work at the Tucson Metro Chamber, and I was their registered lobbyist and policy analyst. Kind of taking it back to what you said about my father and the way I came to be in this position, how I was raised. My parents owned a local development company. They provided housing in Oro Valley, and really more than that, actually, they provided the opportunity to have what they always wanted. They moved here from Southern California. My dad met my mom out there after he had gone to the U of A, and they realized that raising a family in Southern California meant sacrificing homeownership and a lot of the other benefits that come with it. So their goal was to create places and homes where people could raise a family, and they could do it in a way that provided a little bit more of a rural feel. Right? That's what's so wonderful about Tucson. You can have a little bit of land. You can have a little bit of separation if that's what you're looking for. And the way that they did that was by really working to understand what Oro Valley as a community needed, listening to the residents. And that's where I first got my example of listen before you speak and try to understand if somebody is not pleased with something, why are they really not pleased with it? And is there a way that you can help overcome that? There's no benefit to just moving ahead and bulldozing. It doesn't win anything for anybody. So really trying to create a trust in the vision for the future and getting people on board with that. After working at the chamber, I went on to Metropolitan Pima Alliance. When I was at the chamber, I had the opportunity to engage in Greater Tucson Leadership and go through that program. It was a wonderful way to get a better, more holistic view and understanding of the community. I got to see many different segments of it. Wonderful program. If anybody hasn't gone through it, I highly recommend it. It gives
Should I ask what class you were in?
Sure. 2012, best class ever.
There it is, that infamous best class ever line.
Yep, and that really, it really got my wheels turning. I also...
And great, just for the mm-hmm. record, Greater Tucson Leadership's program is amazing for learning what you need to know about this community, the aspects you may not understand, hear it from the people who make the policy decisions and the advocacy and, I mean, so many different parts of what goes on in your community. If you want to learn more about it, you should take a look at Greater Tucson Leadership. They run a program every year.
Absolutely.
And it's a remarkable program. And if you look around, it's so many people who you
so
see
diverse.
Now.
Yep.
And you're engaged with in areas that you wouldn't go, what's common about all these people? A lot of them have that common link of having been through Greater Tucson Leadership.
Absolutely. And it provides you with their knowledge as well. That's what's so beautiful about that program is everybody connects, everybody shares. And you thought that you had an understanding of how certain segments work, right, in Tucson. And getting to hear it from people who are in it day in and day out, it just completely changes your perspective on it. It also really, it allows you to foster that love of the community that you have. We're so unique here in Southern Arizona, as you mentioned earlier, with the variety of different business groups, nonprofits, when you were mentioning donations and such, which I fully support, and providing the opportunity to let Tucson continue to serve the community in a way that we do. We have more nonprofits in Southern Arizona than just about any other community in the country. And getting to learn not just about the private sectors, but also those partnerships in the public sector with your peers, people that you grow with. I'm still friends with a lot of the people that I met in Greater Tucson Leadership, and it's been such a blessing to evolve with them and to see where they've gone.
Yeah, it is a great program. And Allison, you mentioned the nonprofit side. We'll obviously get back to the business entity side like MPA and SLC and the aspects we work in. But there are a lot of nonprofits. Some people would argue too many, but the fact of the matter is it gives everyone the opportunity to find something they're passionate about and something they care about and something someplace they can make a difference.
Absolutely.
A difference doesn't mean you are the one engaging and arguing with the city council or you're trying to change policy at Pima County. You know, time, talent, and treasure, I say all the time, we've all got all three of those things. And I will tell you, time and talent overcomes treasure a lot. It happens when people run for office. I've seen a lot of cases, it was the time and the talent that you had on your team overcame the funding maybe by the other, especially in local races. But with those number of nonprofits, it really is important to learn about them and find your niche. If you've got, you know, a passion for something, I guarantee anyone in this community could find a niche where they can get engaged.
Yes, and that's one of the things, again, that makes Tucson so unique and one of the reasons that I love it. One way I found my niche was by joining the Tucson Young Professionals Board. Made a lot of great friends there as well and worked to really engage our young professionals in the community who went to school here and weren't sure about starting a career in Tucson because they didn't know what opportunities there were for them. A lot of people don't know that we have some major businesses headquartered here, and they don't have to go to Phoenix. They don't have to go to LA. They don't have to go to Deloitte, great company, but there's lots of opportunities to succeed locally and to live somewhere where you can have an impact, you can raise a family, you can get out and hike, you can bike, you can enjoy the weather. And really getting across the message that Tucson is not a place where you just grow up and leave or come to school and then leave. It's a place where you put down roots and you actively engage to provide what you said, your talents and your time, to the community, to steer it in a direction that is going to build a foundation for the future.
And that's a great place for us to go to the hard break that we have at the bottom of the hour. That's the voice of Allison, I almost said Solomon, that's it's our name, Karpuk.
And it's still new.
It's new to all of us, and I hope I'm getting the pronunciation right. She accepts less than perfect on that pronunciation, but I think I've got it right. And we will be back after the break and learn more about MPA. Please stay with us. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Good morning and welcome back. This is Jump in Tucson and this is the Engagement Hour. I'm Ted Maxwell and Matt Neely just played a little George Thorogood, which is the first concert I ever attended at the age, yes, I hate to say this, my first concert, I was 19 because when I was a young high school kid growing up in Southern California, there was no way in hell my mom was ever going to let me venture down into the big downtown part of L.A. And she already knew enough to not trust me too far. So it wasn't until, yeah, George Thorogood at Red Rocks. It was a truly amazing concert.
All right.
What I can remember.
I saw him at the Hollywood Palladium.
Yeah, he can put on a great show. And I've had the privilege of seeing him several times. He opened for the Stones in 82 at a concert I was at. And that was amazing. He opened, Heart was second, and sorry, I divulged a little time away from MPA, but he opened, and all he talked about was the Stones. All he talked about was the Stones, and he was rallying the crowd up. Heart came out, and all they talked about was Heart. All they wanted was Heart. They literally, when Heart stayed to do an encore, they got booed off the stage. And then Mick came out, and it was all good again.
All good again.
All good again. So it's I appreciate it, Matt. I've learned, I kept a pretty tight control on the music because I wanted Springsteen, and more Springsteen. Mm-hmm. But since I've turned it over to Matt and given him more realm, it's just great because
we'll get some more Springsteen. Maybe next week.
We'll get back to him eventually after the political side system calms down a little. All right, so my guest today, back to the important stuff on the show, is Allison Karpuk with the executive director of MPA.
Yes.
MPA, Pima Alliance, Metro Alliance, mm-hmm. a lot of different names. What is it and who do you represent?
Absolutely. So we are a local nonprofit that is focused on promoting collaborative land use and development policies for more prosperous Southern Arizona. It's a mouthful.
There's the business answer.
That's the business
and that
answer.
Means...
That means that we are a little bit more of a niche organization. So there's a lot of them in the community, as you know. We partner often with you, Ted, at SALC, as well as the Tucson Metro Chambers, Southern Arizona Home Builders Alliance, Tucson Association of Realtors, because what we all have in common is the fundamental understanding that development spurs economic development. What makes MPA unique is we don't just want to develop anything anywhere. We believe in smart regional policies and planning, and we believe that the public sector is better able to set the groundwork for that, because they do, with their policies, with their fees, and with the intent of the local elected officials, right? Everything's coming down from the top. And we're able to do that by providing them with information and access to leadership in the land use and development industry.
And so when you say developer... Mm-hmm. Because some people say developer, these are home builders. Well, we've got Saab out there. Mm-hmm. Are you predominantly in the commercial sector of development?
Non-residential. We do also represent some multifamily, some home builders, and master plan community developers. And a lot of that is because the goals are in alignment and there's intersection and there's crossover between those. We focus on commercial policies, right? So commercial is anything that isn't residential. And that would be a lot of what we're seeing lately, which is the industrial, the warehousing, the manufacturing, which is an amazing trend for our region. And it has added to a lot of growth and a lot of outside money coming into the region. And while that sometimes gets a bad rap, it provides more in our local economy, which then gets recirculated in our local economy. And it provides a lot of needed impact fees. And those are the fees associated with development. That's how we get more roads and we get those nice fancy signals and hawks. And
so people hear impact fees. And even, mm-hmm. I've been working in the policy side for almost 11 years. And I'll tell you, I'm far from an expert. In the fewest, simplest terms, what is an impact fee?
An impact fee is a fee that is assessed based upon the type of development. So there's different categories in terms of what MPA does. We'll focus more on that. That's the industrial, manufacturing, warehousing. That is the office and the retail. And those fees differ by municipality, but they go to fund police, fire, parks, roads, and other needed infrastructure such as water and wastewater.
So I think this is a key.
To offset that new development.
So your members pay those impact fees.
Absolutely.
Do they get to determine how it's spent, or does that go to the municipalities?
That is governed solely by the municipalities based upon the confines of the legislation.
So that goes back to the importance of having these different, sometimes niche organizations that represent it, because it'd be very difficult for a group like mine to be advocating for multiple different impact fee payers on their specific issues. And so there is a purpose. There is a reason for all the different business entities that we have in this community.
There absolutely is. And we don't work in silos. When we're working on impact fees, we are working very closely with our partnering organizations, such as SABA and also Tucson Association of Realtors, Arizona Multi-Housing Association. You need the impact fees to be balanced and equitable. That was the purpose of the legislation when it went into effect. So a lot of the world that we operate in now looks different than what it used to 20, 10, 40 years ago. MPA started in 1997, and the reason we started is because there was that gap that you're talking about, right? So our niche. We found our niche because a group of architects, engineers, and developers got together, and they said, what if instead of being divisive towards one another, because the political landscape at that time was controversial. We were going through the pygmy owl situation up in Oro Valley and a lot of the northwest portion of Pima County, and it was causing a lot of friction, and we weren't getting anywhere. So this group of individuals, community and business leaders, led by Mike Grassinger, Terry Klipp, the, at the time, director of SABA, the president of it, they said, let's try a different approach, and let's try bringing in those who are regulated by these policies to share their perspective. Because as great of a job as our public sector partners do on crafting these policies, it's hard to truly craft them in a way that is going to be balanced if you're not the end user, right? You have great experience supporting your wife, but if she sent you to the store for mascara, you'd probably come home with a different one than she would have picked out.
Okay, I didn't know that would be the topic today, but you're right. You need to know the context of the person who's paying the money and needs those services.
That product or service.
Product
Absolutely.
Or service, so you have to. So that's a great point. So you've got developers, contractors, some home builders, some you've got a whole group of people. What are the big issues for MPA in going into 2025?
Oh, it's busy 2025. It's been a busy 2024 as well. As you know, as everybody knows, the election is over, thank goodness. And I don't just mean the national one. I also mean a lot of local races.
Absolutely.
And with that comes different agendas and different platforms, which is fair. Every elected runs on a platform and an agenda.
And elections have outcomes.
They absolutely do. And we have, you know, we knew at the county that there would be at least one new supervisor. That was, you know, obvious and evident. And that will change the dynamics some, right? We are working on Plan Tucson, which is a regional planning effort. And that will set the stage of how policy and how decisions at the council level are made over the next 10 years. It really shapes the community.
And for reference, Plan Tucson is
the general plan
for the city of Tucson.
For the city of Tucson,
so you're coordinating and working with the city to try to put the inputs you'd like to see into that plan.
Inputs we'd like to see as well as growth patterns.
Engagement.
Totally. It's engagement. Everybody should get engaged. If you don't voice your opinion on how you want your community to grow and develop, because we are going to grow and develop, and that has been shown time and time again. Tucson is a very desirable place, and growth is not always bad. It needs to be equitable, and it needs to be planned. And that is what we work on doing. So making sure that the municipalities know where our members, our developers, are anticipating to grow, and making sure that there's the necessary services in place, as well as ensuring that the policies allow for growth in the best possible way. you don't want policies that are so prohibitive that you end up with just boxes everywhere.
No, absolutely. And I think what a lot of the business organizations that advocate in this space want is they see the solution to poverty, mm-hmm. to crime,
yep.
to homelessness, being in growth, in jobs and opportunities. And yes, we need education to fill the workforce requirements for those jobs. But if we don't have that growth, there's no opportunities for people to help themselves and for us to help them out of the situation of poverty.
Correct. And like we talked about earlier, development provides those essential infrastructure needs. When a new community goes in, they're not just now putting more burden on the system. They are paying their way. And that's how we've gotten a lot of the nice new roads that we have in the community. One of the ways, obviously, we also have the Regional Transportation Authority. We have different bonds and propositions that have been passed. But new growth spurs prosperity. It provides more schools. It provides more police, more fire, provides better waste collection, and it helps to secure our very finite resources, such as water. It also protects land. Pima County has done an amazing job of this. They provided the opportunity to set aside land when a new area is developed. And so we have these beautiful conservation areas where we're still able today to go and visit what the nature of Tucson was when, you know, my dad went to school here, when we were growing up here. And that is undisturbed beautiful mountains. Pima County's working on their general plan update as well, and that's Pima Prospers, or Valley's going through one. All of the municipalities go through this every 10 years. It's mandated by state statute. And it's really fun for me because I get to take the diverse input of our members of the development community and those associated with it and translate that into visions, and then ideally policies are created from those visions. It's kind of like Sims in real life.
All right. Now that's the age gap we hit when you start talking about Sims. I do know what it is because my kids played it, but that's definitely a reference. We'll see how many of the listeners, all seven of them, catch. So we'll see. We're going to go to break now. That's Allison Karpuk. Oh, it's again, Solomon keeps wanting to roll off the tongue, but we're not going to do that. I can hear the petty in the background. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Stay with us, and we will be back for our final segment. Welcome back. This is Jump In Tucson, and this is the Engagement Hour. Encourage you to tune in to Jump In Tucson tomorrow, where you get the combination of discussion on food and politics. I know I pitched last week that Matt Cable, the owner of Zio Pepe, would be the guest on Grant's show. Apparently threw a curveball and they changed it out. Instead last week, he had the owner of Giuseppe's on, which mm-hmm. is Giuseppe's. I love Giuseppe's, good food. But tomorrow, Matt Cable will be here with Grant Kruger at 9 o'clock. So make sure to join him. I also want to take the opportunity to welcome the Tucson Airport Authority to the Engagement Hour list of sponsors. And you'll start hearing more commercials from them to support the Jump In Tucson and the Engagement Hour. And I really appreciate all the support for the airport. Remember, fly Tucson. It's important that we support our airport. If you think we need more routes, more direct flights, that means we have to show the demand. So always look at a minimum of that Tucson Airport Authority and TIA to fly before you book any of your flights. Believe it or not, I've learned that just clicking on there and starting that, the airlines actually track the number of people who search for a flight from a location to an outbound location, and when they don't find it, that builds information on the demand. So again, fly Tucson and support our local airport. All right, let's come back. You teased a little bit about the mm-hmm. RTA, and you know I'm yeah. always willing to talk the RTA. What is MPA's current thoughts on the RTA?
Absolutely. So I'd like to focus a little bit more on the RTA because, as I mentioned, like some of the other things I talked about before, they're larger regional issues and they're easier to get your hands around. If I sat here and I talked to you about outdoor lighting code or hydrologic modeling.
Impact fees.
Impact fees, yes. A lot of those are more nebulous and they're more in the weeds. And while they're very important and impactful, they're not something that a lot of people can identify with and, you know, get behind. Planning our community, absolutely something people can understand, right? And regional transportation, while I believe everybody should be able to understand it, is something that we need to start talking about more as a community. We've had great success with our current Regional Transportation Association, very unique from the ones that operate in other areas of the state. We have control over ours and we have a very diverse board. We don't have to go for legislative approval, which means that we in Tucson and Pima County as a region have significantly more input and control over what our transportation funding and what projects are included in that are going to move forward in the community. And it's in our hands. It's in the voters' hands. It's not in the legislature's hands and politicians' hands. One of the things that we always have been focused on at MPA is infrastructure. I've mentioned that several times throughout the show. And the reason I do is because they are essential building blocks to a community. And anybody who has been on the roads in Tucson and Pima County lately has probably noticed that some of them need some work and some of them are a little congested. And that's where the RTA comes in. MPA is a staunch supporter of the Regional Transportation Association and Pima Association of Governments. We actually have an ex officio spot on our board. That's how important it is to us. And we're very lucky to have Jamie Brown serving in that role. He provides so much collaboration integration with that organization. And similar to MPA, that organization is nonpartisan and it is comprised of all of the local municipalities. We are very grateful to your leadership, for your leadership on the board, as well as the other electeds who serve on it, for getting a plan out to the voters. And we are pushing for as much possible engagement that we can get. This is not a matter of, do you think that we need to, you know, improve our roads? This is, what are your priorities? What projects do you think you need as a citizen of Southern Arizona? And it's the opportunity to weigh in. It's the opportunity to get engaged and to continue supporting something that brings so much funding to the region. And without it, we would be losing significant amounts of money. And just like any other municipality, we could always use more money in the other region.
Well, and the RTA does bring twice as much money to the region as the state and federal dollars we get to the region for infrastructure combined.
Yes.
So it literally, if the RTA next does not pass, we will lose 2/3 of our current regional dollars for infrastructure investment. And as you stated, infrastructure is the backbone of both the economy, but a community.
Yes.
If you don't have good quality infrastructure, you're not going to have a prosperous economy or a high quality of life.
Absolutely. And this is our opportunity to decide where that money goes as a community. This is not money that the state or federal government is giving us and saying, you've got to use it right here. This is a plan that is a compromise between all of the local jurisdictions and their residents of how they want to use this money that is coming in. And that is by far the most control you're going to get when it comes to transportation funding.
And so, Allison, it's important for people to understand that this is your chance to get on the survey. So you can call up Regional Transportation Authority. I'm not going to give them the website yet because I'd rather talk about MPA's position on it. So what is it that MPA likes and what would you like to see changed? If you have those specifics.
Well, we're...
And we've got about a minute left.
Okay. In general, we are very supportive of the Regional Transportation Authority. We would like to see the continuation of it. We would like to see that the projects and the funding are balanced. We want to ensure that each municipality that is included has the opportunity to make the impactful improvements that are needed, especially Pima County, as we're going to be seeing a lot of growth happening in the unincorporated county.
Unincorporated, it's a great area to focus on. I appreciate that. Where can people learn, what website can they go to learn more about Pima Metropolitan Alliance?
www.mpaaz.org.
Okay, mpaaz.org. That's an easy one. That's the voice of Allison Karpuk, the executive director of MPA, and I appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you, Ted.
Matt, thank you for all you do. Everybody out there, you've been listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.